Bandwidth for the Weird Things podcast provided by WiredTree. For sites of any size and world-class customer service, head on over to WiredTree.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the After Things podcast. I'm Bryce Castillo, filling in for Andrew Main once again, joined as always with Justin Robert Young.
Hey, what's going on, folks?
And Brian Brushwood.
He's on assignment. Andrew Main, on assignment.
That's right. Brian, you said you had a topic for After Things today.
Yeah, well, it's a bit of a playground. Spoiler alert, this thought began with my pick. I was like, oh, what's my pick going to be? I know what my pick's going to be. And then I was thinking about it. I was like, man, they really have an extraordinary story, and it might be worth it since After Things is an entire program where we talk about what it's like to be an independent creative. And it might be interesting to compare notes on what these folks have done. But Justin, are you familiar with our friends Rex and Daniel over at the Whiskey Vault and the Whiskey Biscuits channel?
So I know them because of you, and I know that they are connected to the Wizard Academy, and that they shamed you on their show because you. Because I hadn't joined their Facebook group fast enough.
And that's an important part of the story because in the beginning, there was the Wizard Academy channel. And then Daniel Whittington started doing a whiskey sommelier program over at the Wizard Academy. And the Wizard Academy is a 501c3 nonprofit corporation. It's a business academy that is on this you know, it takes place in this gorgeous Wizard's Tower. Mm-hmm. And Daniel, to help encourage interest in taking the whiskey sommelier class and as a public service, started doing whiskey reviews on the Whiskey Vault channel. And yeah, before too long, Rex Williams joined him. And Rex the impression that they give is that, Daniel is the sommelier and Rex is just there to mooch. So they call it this the Somm and the Mooch. And the channel has been growing. And as a matter of fact, Whiskey Vault channel is up to, I want to say, like 80,000. They're about to get that silver play button over about a year and a half, maybe 2 years. Around the time they began this venture, Daniel came on three Modern Rogue episodes, and they were all fantastic. They performed very, very well for us. Mm-hmm. And they were a fantastic outward-facing introduction to get people into his stuff. Because all of this is on Wizard Academy property, it all has to be nonprofit. That means that you can never have a sponsor. You can never solicit any money. And everybody takes this very, very seriously and respectfully. But it was clear that they were building up a group of people who were very, very passionate about it. And yeah, they took that energy. And those people wanted to have conversations about, you know, what whiskey to buy and recommend. I recommend you buy this. I don't recommend you buy that. Because, that's something that when it comes to nonprofits, as I understand it, you have to have extremely clear hygiene. I remember all the way back when the folks now Double Toasted, and before that Spill.com, before even that, they were the real deal and they were on Austin Cable Access Television. Mm-hmm. And I would show up to do magic because I wanted to promote for my, maybe I had a live show or something. So I would do magic on the show. And when it came time to talk about the live show I was doing, they would say, Brian Brushwood has a live show. We are not telling you to go see his live show, but it will be taking place at this time. Either go or don't go. It is up to you. That is a statement of fact. So there are these hygiene things you have to do, and with good reason, because it's very easy to blur the lines. So you got this group of people who becomes passionate about this topic and subject. And obviously, they're going to want to guide the discussion to other places. So basically, they create a clubhouse outside of it. They're like, look, take it to this other clubhouse. You guys can talk about whatever you want, and we'll show up and say hello to you. And so they also, realizing that some people don't want, they create a Facebook group called the Whiskey Tribe. But they realized that, well, we have to have another presence because we want to start a distillery, Rex and Daniel. And and they were like, well, obviously we can't ever talk about any of this on the Whiskey Vault channel. So we're going to start a brand new channel. In many ways, it's kind of similar to the challenge I had to overcome with
Game School in the Modern Road.
Correct, exactly. Yeah. And they create a new channel called Whiskey Biscuits that is them telling the story of from concept to grain to building the building to aging it. This story will, I don't want to say end, but will culminate in the decanting, 8 years from now of their 8 year scotch or whiskey or whatever, and the experimental stuff they're doing. So you got this really passionate audience. And of course, in the Whiskey Biscuits channel, mainly it's the story of their distillery, but they have the ability to say, do this and don't do that, that kind of stuff. The Whiskey Tribe Facebook group is the lifeblood of this, and it's doing very, very well. They hit 5,000, and they started a waiting list because they wanted it to be exclusive. And as a matter of fact, the Donna Patreon, Patrick Cohn, is one of the prominent members there. They finally got me signed up in there, and man, these people are passionate, and they're not just passionate about their whiskeys. They're passionate about each other, right? A lot of people are discovering each other through their mutual love of whiskey. Now, you'll notice everything I've said so far has not involved a single dollar figure.
No.
Supposedly, the distillery would eventually sell products.
Sure, but not now. So it's like they had to find investors and all that stuff is expensive. Sure. Everything they've done so far has been for free on top of their day jobs. All of them. And I'm sure, you and I can relate to that. Tell me if this sounds familiar to you, Justin. Doing all of this on the side, on top of your day job. And this weekend, Saturday morning, they finally launched a Patreon video. They launched their Patreon. They decided to go contributions per month. And how do you think they did, Justin?
Well, I'm looking at it right now.
Not bad, right? So in 1 day, they had already reached $8,000 per month. By the end of the next day, they were at $11,000 per month. As we're recording this right now, it is Monday, about 48 hours, just over 48 hours since they launched, and they are now at 739 patrons and $12,000 per month.
Which is a very high anomalous high. Like, remember when the Modern Rogue launched, we had the high level tier, the Titan package.
Correct.
We had someone get that in the first month.
Correct.
And so it kind of
threw our numbers off. We looked pretty dope there for about a month. and then we ended up at 3,000. Meanwhile, I am very proud to report that since adding the articles, a lot of people are digging the articles. A lot of people are happy to see cracked folks landing on their feet with us. Sure. And it has been steadily climbing. And in fact, we're up to 4,200 now. But that's a huge deal. Like they're rocketing forward. I was hanging out with them the night before, and they were arguing. And I don't know how much of this is being sort of setting low expectations and just being careful.
I don't know. I feel like if the story is, and I'm interrupting you before you tell it, that they thought it was not going to be all that much, or they had a low expectation, and then it exploded. That kind of is the story that we experienced that Mikey Newman, our friend from Movies with Mikey, certainly experienced. It's funny because I think the way that we experienced Patreon when we first got on it, when it was a lesser known platform, specifically in the realm of podcasting, was that we kind of felt like, we got in while the cotton was high. Like we really bled out Patreon for all that money when we had the Night Attack and Cord Killers and stuff like that. When it's like now, as Patreon is more of a brand, is more of something that people understand, that we are further away from the dark days of the internet where a creator would be shamed for e-begging or something like that, that now it's like, oh no, starting a Patreon now is... if you have a lot of goodwill and you got a good pitch and you can figure out a way to kind of bring more value for the dollar, you know, look, they have a tremendous Patreon right now. It'll be interesting to see as they go forward what exactly the shakeout is, because they are promising things, you know, like there is going to be an element of a delivery here. But I don't think that that's in any way a bad thing. I mean, that's the new model.
Well, and keep in mind also that the whole purpose of what they're doing is saying, would you like to be a part of the story of our distillery that we're launching? Yes. And would you like to have your name in you know, on the wall and be one of our all-stars? It's watching the video. They did a very, very smart job of making it very community focused. Number one, they built the community first. The Whiskey Tribe group on Facebook is now around 6,500 members and slowly climbing, assuming people continue to answer the questions correctly and get in the club. But they did more because I told Bonnie and I told Jason the numbers, and they were like, how on earth are they doing that on one day to go to $8,000? And I was like, you got to understand, they did not say, we do videos, please give us money. They said, you know, we have built a community in our spare time. They gave a 20-year business plan that ends with the idea of building a whiskey castle near the whiskey, the Wizard Academy.
Cat, yeah.
They didn't treat Patreon as a way to cash in goodwill. They went to their investors with a 20-year business plan with tangible takeaway benefits at every phase of the entire story, and tangible membership benefits at every level. And in fact, their biggest regret is I think they had 50 of some slot, and those have all run out. And
50 of their $50 per month.
The Whiskey Tribe Baron, yeah. And so, I mean, they're treating it like a business, and I got to tell you, I think we're going to start seeing more of this kind of very long-term, very long-form business plan. Essentially, like, I mean, you know, that's of course what you think of. It's an ongoing Kickstarter, but this is more of a Kickstarter than most Patreons, because most are, I make a thing. You want to buy the thing? Give me Patreon so I continue to make the thing. No. So,
I think that's in our world, certainly. But when you look at a lot of like cosplayers and stuff like that, they are very focused on sign up and get things. You are going to get a steady stream of product from me, be it digital or physical. But we are going to do this. I think what they are doing here is great. But what it really heralds is that paying money for things on the internet has now been fully democratized. Like we now, the value of Patreon, and this is when everybody, I get it. Patreon can screw up sometimes. Patreon can do dumb things. They can, message wrong. They can be a problem, but it is, whenever I see people getting really spicy about Patreon online, I'm like, you know what they mean to us, though. Like, yes, we should hold them responsible, but like the brand, Patreon, the brand is invaluable to us and invaluable to you if you ever want to do something that raises money. And it's like the fact that it is now a thing where you can build a subscription model and not have, I mean, look, how much did it take for you mentioned Corey Martin from Double Toasted and Spill and The Real Deal. They built up a gigantic community, and then, you know, they have to run their own white label subscription service that is by its nature behind a paywall, by its nature foreign to people that are going to come in. It is their own clubhouse.
It has you can either mine the core or you can expand the base. And by definition, that is mining the core. It's very little discoverability with that kind of setup. Yes.
But he's also saying that they've had to roll their own technological element of it.
Well, yeah. And now it's problematic because the only way for them to bust out into the Twitch sphere or whatever is to, because so much of this is for members only, they have to create a new property if they want to have it be on the Twitch channel.
Which is funny because the last time I was down there last year and I was talking to Corey about it, because there were, draw your own conclusions of why I was talking to Corey about Twitch, but like you know, he's talking to me about this and he's like, yeah, man, I think we're going to do, they're going to do some new content. And I'm like, man, it's like only another person who does content for a living can look into the eyes of somebody saying those words and know that their eyes are like devoid of the content that you are that your mouth is promising. Like it was just a 1,000-yard stare of like, yeah, no, we'll do it. It'll be a whole new thing. And like, it just, his brain is thinking about his calendar and where he's going to put it on the gigantic full to the brim character where calendar, where he's already gotten done with a 6-hour live stream that they do every single week on Sundays and stuff like that.
And by the way, that's another pick, man. Double Toasted. They do premium content. They are smart and right. Funny.
Here's all I'm saying. If the spill to Double Toasted cataclysm were to happen today, I think that there would be no question that you would push them as somebody who was involved with that at the time to be like, no, do a Patreon. You can have the best of both worlds. You can gate your certain amount of content. You can have a subscription platform, but now the subscription platform is the brand. It is a discoverable brand that people have in general warm feelings about, even if sometimes the brand is you know, itself can vex those that are paying the most attention to it. In general, Patreon means dreams. Patreon means the content that I want, the creators that I love being able to live their lives. That is so effing valuable. And I think that that's what you're seeing. People who are What Whiskey Biscuits is doing and what Mikey's done, what a lot of people who have peeled out of other larger organizations have done, is look at what we like did, not to give ourselves break our arms patting ourselves on the back, but it's like, you know, we threw it out there and realized that there was gold in them thar hills. They've brought business plans and mining equipment, you know?
Yes. And we're like, oh, well, we just had this bucket and we just keep finding gold. And they're all like, that's adorable, kiddo. Now, if you don't mind, this multi-conglomerate monstrosity is going to be putting some steam engines in here. We're going to extract all the gold.
Or even just understanding, like, they're like, oh, you know, for like the amount of effort that you're putting into, like you can buy very reasonably priced mining equipment. And we're like, yeah, we got this bucket.
Well,
here's all I'm going to say. There's a reason why we always joke about, man, we should reshoot these Patreon videos. And they're like, hey, look at this multi-tiered solution where we're going to push those that have $200 to give us $200 a month. We're going to push those who have $50 to give $50 a month. They're building things for that. You know, yes. They're building things to attract them because they understand that this is something that you can do.
Even on the day of the launch, I sent a text to both of them that said, number one, congratulations. Number two, I'm going to steal all of this when we relaunch the Modern Rogue Patreon. Because there's a couple of deadlines where we're going to be kind of at a pivotal moment as we head into the summer, and we're going to have to make some big decisions. So I think we're going to do a relaunch campaign, which will be that'll be a whole thing that we'll talk about on here. Because, you know, do you get multiple at bats? Do you get multiple bites at the apple? That's something I don't know really, but I do know that our story has changed a lot on the Modern Rogue since we launched the Patreon back in September, mm-hmm. and. You know, the numbers have changed, and so the questions we have to ask and the benefits that we offer are going to have to change as well. And all of this is premature for me to. I don't have any details at all.
I had not heard of this at all. Even
one of the beneficiaries of the Modern Rogue Patreon is very excited.
Well,
to learn the details of how his livelihood is going to be affected.
Without divulging too many details, it's like now, you know, we didn't know we were going to be running a publishing arm of the Modern Rogue when we launched the Patreon back then. And we're doing our best to evolve it. But I think it merits a new if the vision changes, it seems like a new launch video and a new description of the new plan would have a place.
100%, and I do think you have multiple at bats, as many as you want, because what we are seeing here and what we have seen in the past, you know, in some of the ones that have really, really, really blown up, is Patreon. A launch of a successful Patreon is narrative plus apparatus, and narrative is the thing that we got early on, of like, hey, we just got kicked out of dad's house at this other network. And so now we're like, either we're going to stop doing this. Well, we'll imply that we'll stop doing this, or we're going to do this thing. Like, and then, oh my God, like we jumped off a cliff with Wile E. Coyote wings, and it turns out we're flying. Isn't this amazing? Let's all do that. Now, that's where I think, like, now you look at it and it's like, okay, well then what happens on when the narrative gets old or the narrative goes away? Why am I still subscribing to this on month whatever?
And our hope, fingers crossed, is because we continue to deliver exceptional value that is belongs a part of your day and value for value.
But even then,
sure.
You look at the Cord Killers. Every time I load up the Cord Killers, I have a fun moment where you get to see the title of the YouTube video that it's attached to. And it says Cord Killers coming to you independent 2014. And I haven't watched that video in a very long time, but I bet it hasn't aged very well.
I'll bet you're right. And I think, you know, I'm starting to get the idea. Maybe we should update all of our videos on our Patreon.
It would be worth a trip to Austin if we could all just be there. In fact, we probably should have done it when we were literally all just in Austin a week ago. But look, here's all I'll say. What they've realized is that it's not – look, that narrative will always be there. And the people that are hardcore, that love what you do and just want to have – they carve out a little bit of their budget or they forget that it's there, but they don't give a rat's ass. That will always be there no matter what. The difference is, well, that'll be there probably for a couple bucks. And maybe a few people that have a lot of money will let it ride for more than that. But past that – You need to think about what that management is. If you really, I mean, like, if you want to look at $12,000 a month, again, it'll be interesting to see how much they take home, because there is some promises for physical stuff and mailing stuff. And as you know,
sure,
running a store.
But that's also, yeah, that's also baked into the fact that they're opening a business. And here's the part that that we hadn't considered before is their numbers are not super big. They are not Philip DeFranco numbers. They are not every time we publish a video, it gets a million views. And yet to go from and that's part of the reason their estimates or Rex's estimate. Rex was the pessimistic one. I think Daniel felt like even he didn't expect it would be anywhere near this. But, you know, by the numbers, he's like, well, we reach, you know, most Whiskey Vault videos do between $7,000 and $10,000 views upon release.
Yeah.
And it's daily content. He's like, and the entire Whiskey Tribe Facebook group is only 6,500 people. You know, you look at those and the new Whiskey Biscuits channel is only like 15,000 subscribers total. It's like, well, you know, what can we expect? How can we possibly expect big numbers? And because it, when you watch their video, it is all about the community and what has happened. And I think, It is a case of an inch wide and a mile deep. You know, the affection and what these guys have created.
Look at the count. The count. You know, they have 739 patrons.
Yep.
Right. Modern Rogue is 654. That's not a tremendous gap.
Yes. Yeah. Correct. However, and Modern Rogue by the numbers, you know, Modern Rogue usually will oftentimes do 100,000 for an episode in the first 24 hours. And, yeah. You know, we're doing between 2 and 5 million views per month, orders of magnitude bigger than them. But Modern Rogue has never made a big deal about the Modern Rogue community. It has always been the content standing alone by itself. And
not to mention, with both of you guys is that there are a lot of pots on the stove right now.
Correct.
And so that means that what little community is doled out is kind of doled out in rations.
Right. Well, and that's why...
Focus on the one Facebook group and all of those people.
Exactly. And as we cast a wide net, I don't know what it looks like. And this is why I'm saying it's too premature to say what lessons I've taken from watching this. But I it's certainly remarkable that that with numbers so much smaller, and if you're listening, Rex and Daniel, I don't mean that in a bad way, that the depth of they've tapped into something that I really wonder what lessons I can take away from, and that all of us, anybody creating something.
And I would say that you know, you bring up a good point, which is that, you know, they do make a lot of video content, but they're, I would gather from just the copy points that I've seen on their page that their community is their primary thing.
Right.
And so it's hard to compare those two one-to-one, I would say, for your own benefit.
Agreed. And that's the beautiful thing about Patreon is that there's so many different ways to win at it. As a matter of fact, when Patreon got the whole world up in arms, it's because they were solving a problem that a segment, because there was that whole chunk of Patreon that was using it as, you know, get my newest release, and people were signing up, getting the free stuff, and then canceling.
Sure.
And they were attempting to solve it. That's a way that we would never even consider with what we do to use Patreon. And yet,
And they did not, they were not aware of this whole other class because we were the dogs that didn't bark, right?
Right.
And so they're like, oh, well, we have one problem. And it's the number one problem we get. It's the number one problem we're going to solve. Look at us. We solved it. And then it was like, whoa, you just ruined my entire business model that I built on your platform. And they're like, oi, will we? Oh, man. All right. Well,
and this brings up another interesting question because my friend Gene Naftulev is a big fan of the No Agenda podcast, and they don't do Patreon. They don't even report any of their numbers. They
have a PayPal button.
Correct. And they have rewards that they will shout out your name and give you titles and all that stuff. And part of the reason Gene is not a fan of Patreon because Patreon, you can feel like you own your crowd, but you own them subject to the whims and at the pleasure of the platform upon which you have based all this. And
we did talk about this recently because I remember you were having a similar conflict with YouTube of like, oh, well, at the end of the day, I'm still beholden to YouTube.
Right. I work for Google, and my boss is an insane robot middle manager that refuses to tell me what it wants, but either will massively reward or punish me at its whim. And it's my job to guess what my crazy robot manager at Google wants me to do.
Sure. But on the other side of that coin, the solution to that is do a double toasted and roll your own technological solutions.
Correct. Correct.
Sorry, you were talking about Gene.
Oh, yeah. No. I mean, that would be Gene's point. And he would say, yeah, you know, my guess, you know, nobody can take Double Toasted's thing away from them. Nobody could take No Agenda's thing away from them because they don't rely on anyone else. So that is the legit double-edged sword, because we have seen a shadow of what it might look like if Patreon decides, nah, screw it, man. We're taking a third now. And what are you going to do? Leave us? We're Patreon.
Yeah,
And then, you know, they I've heard through the grapevine that they are very, 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 very cognizant of not upping their percentage. They feel that their percentage is their compact with people, with the folks that are on there. But also, it's like, man, they take what, 5% or 3 to 5% or something like that?
5 to 10, depending on the processing fee of the pledge.
Yeah, I'm like, I'd be fine guaranteeing you guys an extra 0.5% to 1% if you made the platform more robust and like let me do more and different things and didn't want to randomly upset the entire apple cart. But that's a whole nother story.
Yeah. Though I will say, in the wake of Patreon, and this was growing before the Patreon issues last December, but also since then, I've seen, of all of the other Patreon competitors, I guess you could say, you know, things like Kickstarter's Drip, which we have heard nothing about. I mean, you hear about drips all the time.
The news has been a drip, a very slow drip.
The one thing I have seen more and more is Ko-fi, K-O-F-I.
Oh, tell me a bit about it.
I mean, I think it's basically, I think it's basically like a PayPal button. Where it says, hey, buy me a coffee.
Oh, that's a good way to, that's a great built-in reframe. It seems to me like this is a, whereas Patreon is an open-ended, if you want money for a thing and have a vision to tell, then whatever it is, no matter how big or so small. But whereas coffee just sounds like, hey, man, did you enjoy the last 2 hours of us chatting? Then would you buy me a coffee for it? Because I'd like to have it.
Yeah, and so, you know, the idea like, oh, you can set like, hey, I need to buy something, so this is my goal right now. Like, I've seen a lot, especially of a lot of artists on Twitter and on Tumblr and stuff, say, hey, like, hey, I have a coffee. If you like any of this stuff. Can you just give me what you got, whatever you can give, rather, over something like Patreon or someone's PayPal button for a one-time donation. So I think it's interesting.
Oh, that's interesting. It says here on the FAQ, it says, how does coffee make money? It says, we are a totally free service and we don't make money from advertising. We pay the cost of the service by accepting donations in exactly the same way as our members.
They have their own coffee page.
That's
funny.
That's amazing. That's crazy.
Yeah. I think there will probably be another outsider service like this to pop up in a recurring way, because I don't think coffee is recurring the way Patreon is.
Got it.
But I would not be surprised if you see another left field service that does recurring payments and says, hey, you know, these are the features that Patreon has, and we're going to try to get as many of them as we want, or as we can replicate, you know?
I totally agree, Bryce, and I think that's the ultimate success of the Patreon brand, is if other brands are like, yes, no, we'll do that, but we'll do it better, and we'll call it Pepsi.
because Patreon has been so dominant as a like subscription service that like just you don't even need to describe it anymore, right? Like I see, you're like, hey, check out my Patreon.
Much
now.
Like, do you remember a time when the very idea of a PayPal button just screamed of amateur compared to? I remember when I opened my very first online store years ago, I insisted on getting a Yahoo Merchant Service account because I wanted to be quote unquote legit and take credit cards, which it turns out means I want to invite thousands of fraudulent orders from people testing out stolen credit cards at all times.
Yeah.
Huge pain in the butt. But it was like PayPal was not a real store at the time. And nowadays it's like PayPal, I think 40% of all the payments we take on scamstuff.com is by PayPal now.
Yeah.
Like that stigma is totally gone.
Yeah. And so I think it's a good sign for, in general, creators getting paid. The idea of something like coffee coming up and the idea that should something happen with Patreon, that there will probably be another service waiting in the wings.
Oh, that's interesting. Open Bayou points out that Facebook is slowly creeping into Patreon and Twitch subscriptions with badges and leaderboards.
Because Facebook also has live streaming. And YouTube's doing a very similar thing with Super Chat. And I don't remember what their cheer... Is it called Cheers? They have their own like donation element. I don't remember what it's called.
I think what you hit on with coffee is that your approach... You know, like the making money off your audience on the internet is not unlike any other kind of salesmanship. Like you can just, you know, read the manual of like, hello, I would like for you to buy a car. What car are you looking for? We can sort them by value or color. And it's like, screw you. You're weird. I don't like you. I don't want to give you money. And then you can have somebody slick who's like, hey, Buster Brown, I'll tell you what, your hair reminds me of my wife. Just kidding. I'm divorced. Anyway, would you like to buy a car? And you're like, oh, you're charming. I'll buy a car from you. Like that. This is coffee is unassuming. It's like, I'm an artist. I got a thing. I don't know, man. I'm weird about asking for money, but I got this thing, I guess. Like, oh, cool. Unassuming thing where I can give money to. Beep. Like, even with like no agenda, they got a PayPal button and it's like, hey, look, we're trying to really break down what's going on and we're not afraid to say everything. So we got to stay off the grid. And that's why you got to use this kind of weird thing, like a PayPal button to give us money. And then there's that. And what Patreon does is kind of crosses that middle thing of like, hey, here are some tools for subscription stuff and we're going to continue to build it.
Yeah.
And that'll be that. But it's like the reason why I think Twitch does well with it and Facebook doesn't do well, or who knows whether Facebook will do well, but YouTube hasn't had at least an explosion in that kind of community stuff, is because it's the approach matters. The aesthetics matter.
The story, as you have a story to tell through Patreon, Patreon has a story to tell of what they represent and how they want to do it.
I just saw someone posted an email today that they got from YouTube Gaming, which is the like gaming focused offsite of YouTube. And by the way, if you've ever visited YouTube Gaming, I recommend you check it out. It is a hellhole.
Oh, you realize like that's the ongoing joke in our Slack is that if the word, you know, read a douchebag comment and then immediately look at the username, betcha dollars has the word gaming in there.
Well, I mean, delivering content.
Sure.
Organization. But someone got an email today that they posted on Twitter that said, hey, in about a month, your YouTube gaming stuff, so the people you follow on YouTube gaming and stuff, will now merge with your YouTube stuff. The apps will still work, but now they're merging. And it's like, what the hell is going on with YouTube? I don't get it. YouTube just keeps throwing very big, awkward messes at the wall.
Well, I mean, that is, if you go back and look at the reporting on Twitch's acquisition, it was a done deal that they were going to Google. Uh-huh. Like it was, there are friends of ours who like would say, based on like firsthand knowledge of people that they knew inside, that this was like done. It was over. It was just a matter of all the due diligence and, you know, it's a lot of money. So corporate structures, yada, yada, yada.
Wow.
And 11th hour, they go to Amazon. And so what I assume is that Twitch, and I have no inside knowledge on this aside from just stuff that's been reported, is that Twitch wanted a few things and Amazon offered them freedom in ways that, you know, Twitch to Google meant that, well, eventually you'll be YouTube. Mm-hmm. You know, you'll be Twitch YouTube, and then eventually it'll just be the YouTube thing, because ultimately that's really what we care about. And we're not creating competing services. We're creating its own, you know, thing that'll eventually seamlessly blend. And Amazon was like, no, look, we got server space and all the money in the world. So we want to.
I don't know if you heard about this, but we're pretty good at serving up stuff pretty fast. A few people come to us for that kind of thing.
Exactly. So that's what I think YouTube gaming is. YouTube gaming was like, oh, crap. Well, we'll just do it ourselves. How hard could it be?
Whoops.
And there we go.
You guys have any After Things picks?
As I mentioned, my pick is going to be to recommend my good friends, Rex and Daniel. Congratulations on the launch of the Whiskey Tribe. If you're not into it, you know what? I'll say their content is my pick. Okay. If you go to the Whiskey Vault or Whiskey Biscuits, both of them on YouTube, you're going to learn a lot about whiskey. And they're super fun and funny.
Cool. Justin, you got a pick?
No, I don't. I really don't. I pick the Whiskey Biscuit guys too. I feel like they're my best friends and I've never met them.
I have a pick and I've really been getting like, I think I've talked about that. I've been doing this for a few weeks. And I'm really getting into a habit of using it more, which is Duolingo,
mm-hmm.
Which is a mobile app that'll teach you a language. Their tagline, learn a language for free forever. And it's not super comprehensive, so I'm using it to learn a little bit of Japanese. And it's cool. I'm learning vocabulary, and it's you very much learn through repetition and actual use. So you have to kind of suss out a lot of the grammatical stuff on your own, at least in this lesson, because this is a newer language pack than, you know, Spanish and French and stuff. But it just as a thing for, you know, 15, 20 minutes a day, I hit the buttons on my phone and I get the words right. And it's like, hey, you kept your streak up. And you know what it did? What it got me to do this past week is you can set a daily goal for yourself. So mine is set to 3 things a day. So I just have to do 3 lessons or practices or whatever, and I reach my goal. And if you don't meet your goal, you lose your streak.
Oh man! And then it's like you don't want to lose that streak.
And so you know what they do? So they do have like Duolingo Plus, which is like $8 or $10 a month, and you get offline access and stuff. Or you can just give them $5.
And you're like, no, keep my streak alive.
They'll just look the other way.
Well, and also isn't part of how Duolingo monetizes everything is that some number of the lessons you're actually doing a translation service for other clients and some other arm of the thing?
You know, that's a good question because I did not look into it after we.
Yeah, yeah. I seemed. I may be mixing some stuff up, but I believe that that what looks like a lesson at advanced levels, it turns out like you have 100 people translating one word for another, and then 80 of them all translate it the same way. Then it's like then that's your translation service. It's like
I found a news press release. Duolingo is partnering with BuzzFeed and CNN to have their content translated by our community of language learners.
Yeah, so, there you go. So you got in other words, you get thousands of amateur, similar to how ReCAPTCHA provides image recognition services.
Yeah.
Or yeah.
And I don't know necessarily how this works. If it means that, like, the stuff that I'm learning, it tells me when I'm wrong. So maybe it's for like people who are at a high level can tap into that, because I think that. Like
I think the idea is that they're breaking it down in such elemental pieces that even if you get it wrong, it knows all the things that are right and wrong, and like it can translate it
right.
Like just based on sheer repetition. Those recaptures. Is it a road if I know that there's a road below it, but it's not showing the road? Is it a car if it's a truck? Like, get off my nuts. I hate it.
I'm with you, man.
Oh, and this says, at least in this press release, they've been doing Spanish, Portuguese, and French. So those are courses.
Yeah, I think this is a 4-year-old press release.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Well, then who knows where it's at now?
Yeah, four years ago.
In any case, that's also an interesting thing. And if you don't want to pay, you just have to skip past a Harry. You hit X on the Harry's ad that comes up after every lesson, and it's even that is not obtrusive. It's like, hey, this keeps your education free, and so I'm like, all right, whatever.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So it's Duolingo. It's a mobile. It's a mobile app. So
cool.
That'll do it for After Things. Thank you, Brian. Thank you, Justin.
Thank you, Andrew, who's on assignment.
Thank you, Andrew, on assignment. It's been After.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.